I can't say enough about this medical facility and its staff, and also its veterans, about its courage kind of in facing the changes the pandemic brought. I know people lost loved ones or were frightened, and we kept going.
Welcome to VAPIX Talk Story. This is our podcast where we inform and educate everyone in the Pacific, especially our veterans, of what's happening here at the VA. Aloha, Dr. Ryder. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Amy, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Give us a little about yourself, a little of your background.
Thank you. I am an internal medicine doctor. That's basically general practice. I also have a extra degree, master's degree in epidemiology, that is the study of diseases, looking at who gets it, what are the conditions under which they get it, looking at the literature to support detection, treatment, et cetera. So when the COVID epidemic came up, I became interested in what we could do to protect our veterans, our staff from COVID.
And I know in the last 3 years, you have been right there in the middle of taking care of all of our veterans and our staff in how we can prevent getting COVID. And so thank you so much for all your hard work. I know that you've traveled with me to different places when we've had our vaccine events. And so now it's a really important time for us to talk about now as we wind things down, some of the updates and changes. So thank you so much. Could you just tell me a little bit about what we're doing in prevention, what we're continuing to do?
That's great. That's a great question. Yeah, thank you. And I just want to say that I can't say enough about this medical facility and its staff, and also its veterans, about its courage kind of in facing the changes the pandemic brought. I know people lost loved ones or were frightened, and we kept going, and people showed up to work, veterans persisted, and it's been a beautiful and amazing thing to watch people's courage during this time. And I really appreciate all my coworkers during this time. So the money for the emergency funding for COVID is winding down. My understanding is Pfizer's vaccine is going to start costing. I'm not quite sure yet how that's going to work in the community for people getting free vaccine. You know, of course, when veterans come to us, we will provide free vaccine. But in terms of getting things in the community, not quite sure how that will work for veterans getting free in the community. Moderna has stated that they will continue to vaccinate for free, which is beautiful news. Some of the testing in the community will not be free anymore. So some of that stuff has to be worked out too, but I know the VA will do the right thing in terms of continuing to care for our veterans who have served our country. In terms of what the VA is doing, you know, the VA is looking at, you know, whether we're going to continue to use masks forever in healthcare areas for everyone, and this is a serious question. There has been some recent publications from the Cochrane database, which what they do is they look at all the studies available for do masks prevent transmission of disease, but they don't just look for COVID. They look for other coronaviruses. They look at flu. Some of the things that are not quite as infectious as COVID, you know, coronavirus 2. And they concluded that they couldn't tell. But there's some issues with their conclusion, and I think people are running with this story that masks don't work. And I have to tell you that there's some good evidence that masks do work. There was a study where they provided masks for free to a rural community, and they offered people the masks and told them how to use it, and they had a marked reduction in COVID transmission. It was wonderful. And then there are studies of using it in schools. They gave some schools masks and some schools no masks. And the schools with masks did not get it. So I think we can say that masks do work for COVID, but I think people are getting to a point where we have vaccinations, we have treatments for COVID, and people are tired of masking. Me personally, I'm going to continue to wear my mask. And I think we're getting to a point, though, that people will be able to choose for themselves about how to take their own protection. My specific concern is for our immune-compromised veterans and for our elderly veterans and our veterans with diabetes with poor control and our veterans who have end-stage renal disease on dialysis. My recommendations for them, wear a well-fitting mask. An N95 is your best bet, and that is because it filters out the most particles. If you can, wear a face shield or goggles. And that protects your eyes. Wear that when you're in a crowded setting. Because we're in Hawaii, try to do your activities outside. Try not to be in crowded indoor settings. If you are in a crowded indoor setting, wear your mask. Try to do your restaurants outdoors, especially at times of high transmission. You can see transmission rates in our community by going to the CDC website. It's all there for us. What else can you do? Well, if you do get COVID, if you get a cold or flu symptoms, test. If you test positive, call us. We want to treat you. Call the VA call center. If you start the medication within 5 days of symptoms, you will have a reduced risk of hospitalization as much as 80%. And it turns out that your risk of going on to long COVID, which we'll talk about in a minute, Amy, drops down as well. So this is all good news that we have all these tools. Our biggest tool is vaccination. That is a great preventive tool for preventing transmission. Not perfectly. We were hopeful. It's not perfect, but it helps for preventing symptoms and also for preventing severe illness. That is our major tool. Get your booster. I think people are frustrated. Why do I have to keep getting boosters? Well, it turns out that this is a tricky virus. It mutates. Our body's immunity starts waning after several months. However, it does work. Please get your booster. So I'd like to now turn channels, if that's okay, Amy.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to now turn to the updates at the Pink Book Conference that I attended, which was talking about updates in vaccination. So one update is, what's going to happen with the COVID shot? Are we going to keep getting it every 4 to 6 months? What's going to go on? Turns out we're going to get a booster once a year, probably in the fall. There might even be a flu shot, COVID shot, kind of together. So you'll get one shot for two, maybe. Okay. That COVID booster will be, they'll predict what mutations are likely to cause disease for the whole season. And the idea is that the booster is intended to keep people out of the hospital. You might still get sick. You're just not going to get as sick. So if we wanted to not get sick at all, we might end up getting boosters every 4 months. That's really hard to do. So we're going to get it once a year in the fall. That's the current thinking. The other update I wanted to share with our veterans is they made a recommendation to get a hepatitis B screen once in your lifetime. So you might now see your primary care physician or your primary care provider offering you a hepatitis B screen. It's just so common enough. And now that we're using such great medications for rheumatoid arthritis or some cancer therapies, people who might have a low level of hepatitis B in their system, those medicines can actually cause it to emerge. So we want to detect it early. So again, getting back to that immune compromise that we were talking about, that some of the medicines that we use now in practice to control some diseases can cause others to occur. So the CDC is making that recommendation. You may now see that. So that's two of the things I learned at the Pink Book visit.
And so for our veterans, we're telling them when they're with their primary care doctor to ask them about, hey, is my current, all the current medications I'm taking, could it be impacting other illnesses?
Yeah, you know, it's a good idea to ask, you know, if you're on an immune-compromising medication, because if you are, but, you know, I will tell you, Amy, that generally our rheumatologists who are big prescribers, they are wonderful. They, you know, they have to screen for tuberculosis because they don't want, you know, some of them will suppress the immune system. So if you have some underlying tuberculosis, it can make it emerge. They're all on top of that. So, you know, if you're getting it from outside the VA, from an outside provider, you might want to ask your primary care provider here. But even outside, I'm sure those doctors are very knowledgeable as well. But yeah, do your homework, double check. Make sure if you're on immune suppressing medication that you've got all your other screening up to date. And that could include hepatitis B screening. Once a lifetime is what the CDC says. More often if you have risk factors for hepatitis B. And then, of course, the COVID shot will be an annual shot. Everyone will get the flu shot, the COVID shot.
I'm glad to hear that because right now part of our PACT Act registration, we're doing community calls that brings our pharmacists out and ensuring that all our veterans are caught up on, because for the last 2 years, almost 3 years, some of our veterans didn't get vaccines. So it's really important that when we are in the, like next will be in Kauai, but for our veterans, when there's an opportunity to get their vaccines, to get caught up on their vaccines.
It's huge. And the facility has really supported getting our veterans caught up, and our numbers do look great for that. And, you know, I know we always want to do better for our veterans. So the other thing, Amy, that I've been doing this past few years is long COVID care. And when people got COVID, patients, after they exited the hospital, they started telling us that they were still having problems breathing. And they went to their doctors, and the doctors did chest x-rays, and they didn't see anything. And they did lung tests, and they didn't see anything. And they checked their oxygen, and it was pretty normal. And they became kind of curious about this large number of patients who still were not feeling right. They had fatigue. They had brain fog. We CT scanned their brain. We checked their vitamin levels. We just couldn't tell what was wrong. And the patients actually really drove this. It was a movement almost. And they told their doctor, no, something was wrong. And the doctor started thinking, and the pharmacist started thinking, the nurses started thinking, they remembered chronic fatigue syndrome, where Epstein-Barr virus in a small percentage of people causes a fatigue-like illness that causes chronic pain, muscle aches, arthralgia, which is joint aches. It causes fatigue, severe fatigue. And when you exert yourself, you get knocked down for another hour, two, or full day afterwards. And then finally, brain fog, that you just don't feel right. You can't remember names. Maybe you forget appointments. You can't remember a word. Maybe you are typing and you're like, oh, does this word look right? I've been spelling this word all my life, and I can't remember if this is the right spelling now. Well, the patients were telling us that's how they felt. There's a lot of viruses that actually stay in our system when we get them. So one is the herpes virus. Like if you get a cold sore on your lips, you'll know that cold sore will come back sometimes in times of stress. That's because the virus lives in the nerve cells. And under times of stress or, you know, just randomly, it will come out again. Shingles, the chickenpox virus, lives in your system and will come out as shingles as you get older and your immunity wanes. Epstein-Barr virus. It's thought that COVID, the same thing, that we can find it in different parts of your body even long after you've recovered from the initial infection, a year, 2 years. It's found in the brain. It's found in the gut. It's found in the reproductive organs, even long after. There might be an immune response to it, a faulty immune response to it. We just don't know. So the body is trying to mount an immune response to it. It might be faulty or inadequate. So people have, the most common symptom people have after a COVID infection is fatigue. Now, it's not everyone. This is about 5 to 10% of people. If you're hospitalized, it's a higher percent. But if you've just had a mild infection, it's about 5 to 10%, maybe 5%. If you've been vaccinated, probably even less. You're much less likely if you've been vaccinated. So fatigue is the main problem. And I've seen people who are marathoners who are just knocked out. They can barely leave the house. They just have exercise intolerance. There's a fatigue just inside them where they feel like they can't do anything. They're just exhausted. Their body's exhausted, just wrung out. But then there's also, as they exercise, they get short of breath, even though their lungs are fine, and they get their heart rate zooms up, even though their heart is normal. Their heart muscle is completely normal by all the tests that we can do. So they can't do their marathons anymore. Sometimes they can't even walk a mile anymore. So these are our veterans. They're used to kind of pushing through pain and, you know, danger, and they can't do that anymore. And it's really life-changing for them because our veterans are used to serving. They're used to serving others. They're used to going to work. They're used to serving their family and being the person that everyone comes to and leans on. And it's a huge shift for them to not be that person. The brain fog is very troubling for them. Computer scientists who can't code anymore because they just can't, you know, they can't multitask. Now, so this is the bad news. Some more bad news is we don't have a biopsy for it. We don't have a blood test that we can send and say, yes, you've got long COVID. That's your diagnosis. We have to ask a lot of questions. It's kind of a pain because there's a lot of other diagnoses that can confuse the picture. It takes a while. When I see people, I might say, yeah, it could be long COVID, but I'm a little bit worried. Let's get a heart study. You know, because I don't want to miss a heart attack, right? So I send them. So it's a pain. You know, they have to go through a lot of testing. They're already tired. They feel kind of yucky. They're very good about it. So I also don't know what the prognosis is. Many people will get better over time, but not everyone does. And there's no pattern to say you'll get better, you won't. So we can't say you're going to get better, you're not going to get better. So it's very frustrating for everyone. So is there good news? Yes, there's good news. Okay, so we've partnered with the Traumatic Brain Injury Program and the speech-language pathologists do cognitive rehab with them. And that those the cognitive rehab speech-language pathologists are wonderful, and that's been very successful. They gave them tips and tricks to work their mind and kind of work around the deficits, improve the deficits. So that's been very helpful, and give them accommodations or, like, tools. Physical therapy and occupational therapy have partnered with us, and they're working on training up all their people. They do, we're doing monitored physical activity because if you overdo it, what you do is go overdo it, crash, and over time you actually lose function. So we want to do little exercises. Okay. So they're designing programs for individualized programs for veterans. I work with a nurse, Susan Tavita, who, because there's all these tests and everything, because people have brain fog and they're frustrated, it's easy to not remember everything. So she helps care coordinate, and she's kind of the soul and heart of the clinic. And she just is such a lovely presence, and people love her. She kind of keeps everyone on track. And we're working with nutrition to talk about low inflammation diet. Because COVID ages the body and causes inflammation, we want to work on healthy habits, get rid of smoking. We refer people to health promotion. We want to refer people to move. So it's a good opportunity for partnerships. We're working with Whole Health. We're hoping to get a Whole Health coach to work with our veterans to identify what they must do and what we can kind of let go on the wayside for a little while they're in recovery from long COVID. And there's some hope in the future because the NIH is sponsoring clinical trial of medications. But what I would say is it's bad to get recurrent COVID infections. It's good to stay up to date on vaccinations. We know that works to prevent long COVID, and it probably works to improve symptoms of long COVID. And we know that Paxlovid probably reduces the risk of long COVID. So if you get COVID and you have risk factors for poor outcome, definitely get Paxlovid if you can. Call us.
Within five days.
Yeah. COVID. And day zero of symptoms is actually day one. So it's really within 4 days. You have to call us pretty quickly.
So tell our veterans that are listening out there, if you think you have COVID, get tested immediately, and within 5 days of
symptoms, not the test, but the symptoms, and we will take a home test. You don't even have to show it to us. If you call us and say, I had a home test positive, we will believe you.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. We do like to have you within a system so we can look at your kidney function just to make sure the medicine is safe. Like for people with very reduced kidney function, we can't give it if it's very reduced. But what I do if I go looking, if you had a kidney function at Queens or over here, I go looking to do my best to get you the medication.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, you know, Dr. Ryder, will you come back and do a more podcasts with us?
Of course I will.
Because you had so much. I just want to make sure there is any main takeaways that we may miss before, because I know you're very busy and we can always do this again. But is there anything that you might have missed that you want our veterans to have a main takeaway from this podcast?
Yes, vaccination works. I know we're frustrated with the get vaccinated over and over and over again, but think about it like the flu vaccine. Why did we need to be vaccinated so much for COVID? It was because COVID was not seasonal, and it did not have a steady mutation rate yet like flu. We just hadn't had it long enough for it to be steadily mutated. It was randomly mutated. So we're hoping that we can now predict it, and we're hoping it's more seasonal now that we have more immunity. So get your COVID vaccine. I know you're frustrated, but just get it. Get your COVID booster. Help prevent COVID and long COVID, or reduce your risk of long COVID. One, if you get COVID, call us to see if we can get you treated. Three, if you have long COVID, call us. My clinic's called Honolulu Epidemiology, but I actually see people on all the islands, either by phone, video, or telehealth on the outlying Hawaiian Islands, Guam, American Samoa, Saipan. I will see you. I'm seeing my first American Samoa patient next week, I hope, and I'm seeing patients on other Hawaiian islands, so please call. I want to see you and offer you hope and help. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I appreciate all that you've done for the last few years and all that you're continuing to do. So thank you so much for this. This is so important. And so I just want to also remind everyone that if you need to call and get an appointment with the VA, the number is 1-800-214-1306. Thank you for listening, and this is Amy Rolfs with VAPIX Talk Story. Aloha.